All right, you can be seated. Good morning. Is this thing even working? It's making a whole lot of noise, I know that. Okay, so how's everybody doing? Good, this is going to be a good day. I noticed there's quite a few new people here today and a lot of people that are normally here that aren't. And so we've got like a whole different church today. So if you don't know me, my name is JT Patton. I'm the pastor here at Freshwater. If I haven't met you before, I would love to meet you after service, get to know you, find out how you ended up here. I say this all the time, but I'm always curious how people ended up here in this elementary school on the northwest side of town. Nobody comes over here. And so if you're here, there's a reason. And so I'm so thankful that you are. I'd love to meet you. And rest of the church family, I'm so thankful that you're here too, right? Because I missed you. I miss you terribly. All right. If you weren't with us last week, I was with the missions team in Mexico, and we're going to talk a lot about Mexico here in about 20 minutes. I know for those of you that have been here before, you're not going to believe this, but my sermon's going to be about 20 minutes today. I know it's shocker. It's shocking. Don't cheer. Don't cheer. It's going to be about 20 minutes today, and then at the end, we're going to bring up the Mexico team, missions team, and just talk about what God did. I want to endear all of our hearts to the Nahuatl people in San Miguel, Mexico, because I don't think we've done a good job as a church really bringing you along with what God is doing there, and that's going to start changing. We're going to do that today, and you're going to get to see what God did, because God was just like bigger than we thought. Like, I got to stop. I'm going to start talking about Mexico, but that's later. But it was more than we thought it could be. Like, God was bigger, and we underestimate God, and it's just ridiculous. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the book of Colossians. Colossians is kind of in the middle of your New Testament, close to the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Galatians. We're going to be walking through this book of Colossians. And so I'm going to intro it today, and then we're going to walk through it verse by verse. But now, if you've been with us, you know, when I normally say walk through it verse by verse, that might mean we might cover 10 verses, we might cover 2, right? But this is a summer series, and so we are going to fly through the book of Colossians. I love this book, and one of the reasons I love it so much is it's a great place to start studying the Bible if you don't feel like you're very good at studying the Bible, right? It's straightforward, it's to the point, it's gospel saturated. We're going to talk about the point of the book today. So if you're not great at studying the Bible, but you've always wanted to be better at it, can I strongly encourage you to do that in this series? Because here's the deal. We're going to cover at least a half a chapter a week, right? Sometimes maybe a little bit more than that. And if you were with us when we walked through the book of Ephesians, it took us 22 weeks to get through Ephesians. This book is only 2 chapters shorter, and we're going to do it in 8 weeks. Now, does that show you the difference of how we're going to walk through this book? We're going to fly. And so there's going to be things that are just so good and so important in the book of Colossians that we're just going to touch on and then move on, because God's going to lead what we need to focus on in each of these chapters. But if you could go back during the week and study it with your life group and on your own, there's going to be so much more for you to mind out with the Lord. We'll give you a base knowledge here, right? We'll give you a base knowledge of what the passage is saying, and then you can go in deeper. So I've said this 100 times. If you don't have a study Bible, get a study Bible, right? What's written in the notes is not scripture, but it will help you understand what God's trying to teach you. The one that we recommend here is the ESV, the English Standard Version Study Bible, right? There's lots of good ones out there. There's some not so good ones too, but talk to Courtney. She works at CPO. Do you still work there? Okay, she still works there. She can point you to the right if you don't like the ESV. But that's the version that we use here, the English Standard Version. And that is an amazing resource. It has amazing online resources. Get into that and start studying. And if there's things that you don't understand or things that you'd like to understand deeper, man, email your life group leader or email me. We would love to help you understand this book in a deeper way than what we're just going to cover here. And if cost is an issue, man, don't worry about that. If cost is keeping you from getting a really good study Bible, come talk to us. I'll buy you one. I'll buy you and your spouse one. I'll buy you and 3 of your friends one. If we don't want cost to ever keep people from knowing the Bible like they should know the Bible. So if you want money, if you need money for a commentary, we will support you in studying the Bible as much as you need it, okay? So get a study Bible and dive in. Okay, so what we're going to do today is, what I love about the intro is Colossians, is it kind of ties in with what we've been doing in Mexico and what we've been doing here as a church. So the book of Colossians, we call it a book, but really it was a letter. I don't know if you guys know that, but Paul wrote a lot of letters, and they were almost always to an individual church. Not always, but most of the time they were to a church. And so if you remember from our series in Ephesians, that was a letter to the church in Ephesus, right? The church in Ephesus, and Paul was writing to a church that he helped start. right? And the church that Paul helped start in Ephesus set a wildfire through Asia. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Now, this one's a little bit different. This book was written to a church in Colossae. That's why we call it the Book of Colossians. And this is a church that Paul actually never went to. This is one where he more than likely sent a church planter out to plant a church in the area because the gospel was going forth like crazy. We're going to see this guy. We're going to read about him in this chapter named Epaphras. So Epaphras was probably from Colossae, heard about what Paul was doing in Ephesus and how the church was spreading, came to check it out, became a believer, and then went back to his hometown to plant a young church. Now, does that sound familiar at all to something that's going on here? That we were sent out by another church where the gospel was spreading and amazing things were happening and they wanted to plant more churches. And so really, what I love about this book for us is he's writing to a church a lot like ours, probably. They're going to have different issues and different things going on, and it's a new church in a new world, but it's similar to us. And they're struggling with some of the same things that we're going to struggle with. And so this book is going to be just so good for our church just to remind us of, what the gospel is really about. Because here's the theme. Right, here's the theme in the book of Colossians, because the reason that Paul is writing this is the main reason is to encourage the believers, but also there's this false teaching that's going on that's pulling people away. It's pulling people away from the church. So Epaphras has left his church that he helped start and come to Paul and said, Paul, this is what's going on. And Paul writes this letter, gives it to Epaphras and says, take it back to your church and read this. This will encourage him. So the main theme, the thing that Paul will constantly come back to in this book is that Jesus has supremacy and sufficiency above all creation and over his church, of which he is the head. Let me say that one more time. Jesus has supremacy and sufficiency above all creation and over his church, of which he is the head. So the thing of it is, Paul always talks about the supremacy of Christ, doesn't he? If you were here for Ephesians, if you read the other books in the New Testament he wrote, he's always talking about the sufficiency and supremacy of Christ. Man, that Christ sustains us and that he is supreme and he is sufficient for everything. But in this book, you'll see that he's coming back to it again and again and again. And the reason that he's constantly coming back to this theme again is because of this false teaching. Now, we don't know exactly what this false teaching is. But if you look at it, most scholars, the way that it's written, believe that he's probably addressing Gnosticism. We're talking about the Gnostics that were in the area. Now, we don't want to spend a lot of time on Gnosticism, but here's the basic premise of what the Gnostics taught. They taught that the flesh was evil, that the world and the flesh and everything worldly, everything created basically is evil, but the spirit is good. And the spirit is good and holy and righteous. And so to attain really salvation and redemption, it only came through the spirit. Now, why does that matter to us?
Well, how that played out when it came to Jesus couldn't possibly have been a man.
Right, because the flesh is evil. Creation in that way is evil. The world's evil. So Jesus couldn't have possibly taken on flesh. So really what Jesus was just the spirit that showed himself to be a man, but in reality wasn't really a man. Now, do you see the problem with that? Man, if you went through Hebrews with us, you know exactly what the problem with that is. Because Jesus was fully God and fully man, he could be our perfect sacrifice on the cross. So what the Gnostics end up teaching is that Jesus is not enough. Yeah, he was a good man, and yeah, he's got good teachings, and yeah, he's even, I think some Gnostics even taught, yeah, Jesus is partly the way, but you need Jesus plus something. And so they taught that you needed some sort of special enlightenment, special knowledge that you had to learn, that you had to grow into through your spirit, which was holy and good. And there would be this special revelation. And in that special revelation or that special knowledge, there were special rituals and special works that you could do to really attain enlightenment and to really attain salvation. So it was Jesus plus something equals redemption, equals salvation. The other teaching that it possibly could have been is just Jewish teaching at the time. There's like these Jewish, sort of Jewish Christians. Paul addresses them a ton in other books that basically just said, yeah, Jesus is good. A lot of them were even saying that Jesus is good and he was a prophet. Some of them were even saying that Jesus is the Son of God, but you still have to have Jesus plus these good works. Without these good works, you don't get Jesus, or you have to do these rituals, or you have to be circumcised, or you have to do these different things, these different traditions, because Jesus is not enough, not if you really want to attain what Jesus has for you. Now, you could see the problem that Paul's going to have with that, right? Because Jesus is trying to tell people over and over, it's Jesus plus nothing. If you had anything to the gospel, if you use the gospel, this gospel or that gospel or the gospel plus this or Jesus plus this, it's no longer the gospel. It's no longer the truth. It's man trying to add to the words of God. And guys, we've talked about it ad nauseum here that we all do that still to this day. We may say that we believe the gospel, and we do. I know a lot of you in this room do, but we still live our lives like we believe it's Jesus plus something. Again, I had a conversation this week. A young man could not get past his sin, that he had fallen back into a sin that he'd struggled with for a long time and given into it. And like he was just basically feeling like, I can't talk to God. I can't do anything. I'm weighed down, because he believed that it was Jesus plus something equals his redemption. And he failed, and he didn't live up to the good works. The good works that he'd been told his whole life that you have to live up to really be a Jesus follower. And it was crushing him, because it was Jesus plus something. And so Paul's going to show us over and over in this book, man, it's Jesus plus nothing. So let's dive in and see what Paul has to say to us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Okay, I love the way Paul starts his books, in particular this one, because he addresses these people like family, right? When he talks to the people in Ephesus and Philippians, he talks to the people other places that he's been, he addresses them in the same way. He doesn't really address them any differently. You know why? Because Paul looks at them as family, right? Just because he's never met them before, he's hearing about them through Epaphras, but he considers them brothers and sisters in Christ, that God is their father of all. And so Paul always addresses people like they're actually family. And you know what, Paul, I believe with all of my heart, when you read Paul's writing, he genuinely loves them just as much as he loves the people and the churches that he planted himself, right? This genuine love for them, because he has a genuine love for Christ. And guys, that's the kind of love that we need to learn to have in our church. Guys, I have no doubt that we love each other. Like, I've just never been a part of a more loving church, with life groups and with everything else. Like, man, people genuinely care about each other here. They take care of each other. When something comes up, man, people take care of, we take care of each other. But that love in this room needs to spread to other people, other believers, other potential believers, because they're becoming our family and we want them to become our family. And so I've seen that love grow for the people of Tom Watkins, right? Especially you guys who've been involved in men's group. We've kind of been involved with John B. Hughes inside of Tom Watkins and life groups that meet in Tom Watkins and people that have been involved a lot with the things that we do. I see that genuine love growing. But guys, that's something else that we want to do today. We're going to spend so much time talking about the Nahuatl people in San Miguel, Mexico, because we want you to have a genuine love for them too, right? To love them. Not just to know about them and not just to be excited about what God's doing. We need those things too, but have a genuine love, because they're our fellow family. They're our fellow believers. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's young church plants there too that are struggling with some of the same things we are. I mean, it's amazing how many things are similar, because you know what? No matter where you go in the world, people are people. They struggle with the same things. They have the same doubts. They have the same fears. It presents a little differently, but it's the same thing. I mean, I'm totally going to go off script constantly, but one of the biggest things that one of the pastors there, Ubaldo, talked about is that he's constantly trying to motivate his people to be evangelistic, to get out of the church and go share with everyone else. I mean, is there any pastor on the planet that doesn't want that more for their church and for their people than that? And like, it's the same thing for us. And so we're so similar. And so we start loving these people like family. And so in verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about that, and then how their family. And then verse 3 and 5, what he really starts talking about is how their faith, their hope, and their love is being spread around, and people are hearing about it. Not only Paul, but other people are hearing about their faith, their hope, and their love. And that's the theme of the whole New Testament, right? We can see it over and over. Faith, hope, and love. The most important of these is love, but faith, hope, and love. And Paul is hearing about that they're trusting more and more in Christ, and that they're giving their hope over to Jesus, not just in this life, but that they have an inheritance someday waiting for them in heaven, right? And placing their hope in that even through the struggles, because the early church was tough. So much persecution, so much tough, so much false teaching coming in, and that they're loving each other, right? That they have a deep and abiding love. And so that news is spreading to them. And so at this point, if you look at the history in the book of Acts, Like we mentioned before, it talks about how in the book of Acts, how the church that had started in Ephesus was spreading the gospel throughout the entire region. Like it was setting a fire throughout Asia. And Colossae is one of these churches that caught that fire. And God is building this faith and this hope and this love in these people. And things are moving forward in a fantastic way. And Paul has a deep and abiding love for them because of it. And I don't mean to harp on this, but guys, that's exactly what we saw happening in Mexico this last week. Man, God is moving there. Do you know that's why we partner there? Because God was already moving. We weren't going to try to create something new. There are the people there in San Miguel, man, they love each other. They have unbelievable faith. Like there's some of these pastors there that our faith compared to their faith is a joke, right? It's a joke because they actually have to depend on God every day, right? They're feeding us food that we better eat because we might be eating the next three meals that they were going to eat in one meal because we're Americans, right? But they're giving. They just give all the time. We even talked to some of their missionaries on the way back, and they were talking about how their people, where they were at, were like, the guy, I'm going to ruin stories, right? No, sorry. Okay. But the guy had to tell them to stop giving to them because their faith was so rich and they had so much hope in Christ. And guys, that's what's going on there right now. We talked to the missionaries and the pastors that were with us because Ethan's probably going to talk about this, but our translator, man, we're a joke compared to this guy. He's been a missionary for like 35 years. I'm going to stop right there. Ethan, if I don't even know if Ethan's in this room. Talk about him if nobody else does, right? Fernando was amazing, but he's telling us about how these stories are penetrating in Mexico right now, right? The gospel has spread. A fire is moving through Mexico right now, and the more than any other time in his life, he said that people are listening to these stories and their hearts are being awakened. God is doing something there, and that's why we're there. And so there's these people that love Jesus a tremendous amount. They have faith. They have hope. They have love, but they need to be encouraged like Paul is encouraging this church, right? They need people to come alongside them and saying that we are with you and we are for you and we're supporting you, and their faith and their hope is going to bless us too. Do you see that? Like because of what they're doing, we'll tell the stories today. We're all going to be blessed by it. And so Paul throughout his books is telling us, man, that faith, hope, and love needs to spread out and bear fruit outside of your church. It needs to spread outside of you. And he's saying in Colossae, that's already happening. People are hearing about this, just like it happened in Ephesus. And so that's one of the reasons we go to other places because, man, God's bearing fruit here, right? Faith, hope, and love is growing here. So we got to go and share that with others and let it spread. And we want to see it spread in Tom Watkins and Williams Elementary School in Springfield, and we want to see it spread in Mexico. Let's keep going in verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, more than likely, this section of scripture is a direct challenge to the false teaching that's going on in Colossae. Right? And so more than likely it was the Gnostics, right? And they were saying that you need something more than Jesus. And so what Paul is stressing here, I don't know if you noticed, but he's really saying you don't need a special knowledge. You already in Christ have full understanding. You already have knowledge. You already have spiritual wisdom. What Paul is saying here is you have everything that you need in Christ. You don't need to learn something special. You don't need to learn something different. Yes, Christ will grow us, but for us to have an inheritance in him, for us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, for God to be our Father, we don't have to have some special knowledge. All we need to know is that Jesus Christ is our Savior, right? Here Paul calls them saints, our holy ones. He's saying, holy ones, you already have your inheritance. Don't let these false teachers fool you into thinking that you need this special knowledge of the Gnostics or that you need these rituals of the Jews or that you need these special traditions to really understand how much God loves you and who you are in him. Yes, the Holy Spirit will continually teach us the rest of our lives, but for redemption, for salvation, for us to have our inheritance promised to us in heaven, there is nothing else. There's not Jesus plus something. There's nothing more for us to attain. So Paul is telling them, and he's telling us, do not look to anything else. And you'll see this backed up again and again and again through this book. Jesus on the cross purchased our forgiveness. He purchased our redemption, and he purchased our inheritance. And again, you've heard me say these things lots of times, but we got to let, church, we got to let these things sink deep into our heart. And Paul's going to do that through the book of Colossians. He's going to tell us over and over, don't look to anything else. Don't look to anything else. Guys, over and over in Scripture, we hear not just Paul say these things, but we hear Peter say these things. We hear John say these things. We even hear Jesus hint to at these things, that salvation comes from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. In our culture right now, you can see it a lot. Man, a lot of people grew up in churches that said you have to do these good works or be this good person. And really what the church was telling you is you have to do all these things to be a good Christian and for God to love you, right? We've talked about how that's not true. But man, there's a lot more subtle false teachings that are going on in our culture right now. Like one of them is saying that really to be a good person, to be saved, to be redeemed, man, you have to have Jesus plus tolerance. Have you noticed that? Like our culture right now in the last 10 years has shifted dramatically. Like if you look at experts, they're saying the last 10 years has been one of the biggest shifts in culture in our country that's ever existed. And it's because of social media and how quickly we communicate. But right now, man, everybody's saying you be tolerant, you know, be tolerant of everybody. But what they're saying is you have to be tolerant of everybody, even if they're committing sins that are damaging to them. Right, and damaging to others, and damaging to our families, and damaging to our country as a whole. Man, you still need to be tolerant of them because Jesus is love. Like, Jesus is cool. Most people are like, Jesus is cool. I like what Jesus taught, but he taught that Jesus taught that God is love, and so you have to be tolerant of everyone no matter what. And if you're not tolerant, then they become very intolerant to you and say, man, you couldn't possibly be saved, or you don't love Jesus, or you couldn't be a Christian because Jesus is love. God is love. And so tolerance has become the religion in our country. And you are cast out, you are condemned, you are cut down if you don't have Jesus plus tolerance. That's why you see churches like crazy shifting over, allowing things in their churches to be more like culture. Because they're trying to be tolerant like the rest of the culture, because Jesus is not enough. And what Jesus teaches is not enough. We need Jesus plus tolerance so we can fit in with the culture and that we can be cool and we can let this thing go. But, and man, guys, it's coming to a time where churches like ours is going to get sued for just preaching what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to be one of those pastors to stand up here and say, man, we're going to come under some heavy persecution. Man, persecution in this country is a joke, right? I think it's one of the reasons that there's so many nominal Christians that don't really sell out for Christ completely. Because there's persecution here is a joke compared to some other places in the world right now, but more is coming. And people are going to be fired and going to be sued and churches are going to be shut down because the new thing in our country is Jesus plus tolerance. And if you don't have that, then you don't get to have a faith anymore. Man, another one, a big one in our culture, it's the last 30 years, we've talked about this before, is Jesus plus prosperity, right? The prosperity gospel. Well, Jesus, technically, they say, technically is enough, but if you have real faith, if you truly believe, then God's going to give you whatever you want because that's what Scripture is really teaching. So if you want a new car or you want a new house or you need a bunch of money or whatever, you need that new job that's going to give you a $100,000 raise, all you got to do if you have enough faith, you just pray for it and Jesus is going to give that to you because God just wants you to claim anything that you want because what God really is this genie. And if you rub the lamp and say, God, this is what I want, he's going to pop out whatever you need. It's not about your spiritual growth. It's about in this physical world, God wants you to have everything that you ever dreamed of. The only problem is most of that stuff is incredibly damaging to our soul and pulls us away from God, and it's just a blatant lie. And so we can think we don't have false teaching like the Gnostics going on right now, but we do. Our whole culture is lying to you and saying that things that are false are true and that you need to follow a different way. That's why so many young people are walking away from the church because they're not hearing truth. I mean, they've done study after study that have shown that young people have actually said, I just want to know right now, I don't really care as much. I just want to know the church believes in something, that they have conviction about it. And they're sick of this kind of like, well, let's just let everybody in and be tolerant of everything. And man, that kind of Christianity is fading away fast. It's a big section of our Christianity right now. Guys, people are hungry for the truth. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's just Jesus. So that's what we have to preach to our family and our friends. Guys, and it's no different in Mexico right now. You know, one of the biggest things that we're fighting in Mexico right now is Catholicism. Now, here, let me just say this. Some people might, like, freak out when me saying this. I believe a lot of my Catholic brothers and sisters are going to be with me in heaven. I have no doubt of it. I have good Catholic friends who love Jesus, who think Jesus is the only way to heaven, love him tremendously. Now, I think they've got some things a little bit wonky, right? They probably think I do too, right? I think they need to... There's things that need to be checked, right? But I believe I'm going to celebrate with them in heaven someday. Now, But that's not the kind of Catholicism that we're talking about that's sweeping Mexico right now. It's the kind of Catholicism that say that you don't get Jesus unless you do all these good works. You don't get Jesus unless you're in church, and you don't get Jesus unless you do these rituals, and that you need to worship these certain idols. I mean, they're just idols like in the Old Testament, and they have names, and there's pieces of things that the people worship and they hold dearly, and if they lose that, they think they lose their faith. And there's mixed in with a lot of worship of ancestors and even some like animism, all mixed in. It's called syncretism. They're taking all these different versions of Catholicism and just kind of blending them all together. And Jesus is not the way. They don't even think that Jesus is the way. They know they need to love Jesus, but they haven't given their life to Jesus. Like, giving your life completely to Jesus and not being based off works is like, what are you talking about? Weighted down by shame and by guilt and never really knowing the truth. This might sound crazy to you, but you know the prosperity gospel is a big problem in Mexico right now. Do you know that? You think, how could it be in like, in these horribly impoverished areas, people are coming in and saying, teaching, if you just loved God enough, he would deliver you from this. That you don't have to be poor anymore. Do you love him enough? And it's devastating. Because people think they don't love Jesus and they're not really saved and they don't have enough. Like, this is the prosperity gospel. You know that just started here in the United States in like the 70s? Like, Paul talks about this in Timothy, how people are going to want to hear things that tickle their ears. Like, they're going to want to hear false teaching because it sounds good. And the prosperity gospel sounds good. Man, if I love God enough, I get a new car. That sounds awesome. Is that not the American dream? Right? You take religion, you mix it with American culture, and you blend it together, and you get the prosperity gospel. This is spreading into Mexico, and it's devastating. It's devastating. Jehovah's Witness. But Jehovah's Witness are getting it done in Mexico. Like, we're comfortable Christians in here with what's true, but Jehovah's Witnesses going like crazy through Mexico, teaching all these people, yeah, Jesus is good and he's the Son of God, but you need more than Jesus, because you need Jesus and Joseph Smith, and you need to have this special knowledge. I mean, a lot of ways Jehovah's Witness is not that different from Gnostics. You got to have this special knowledge and know these special things and do these special rituals, and it's spreading like crazy through Mexico too. So what we need to do is we need to be there. We need to go, because these are lies. Man, the gospel is not Jesus plus something else. It's just Jesus. So we've got to go and encourage these believers, because they don't have the resources that we have, right? They don't have access to all these amazing teachers. I can listen to the best teachers in this country on my way home right today, right? I can pull it up on my phone, listen to podcasts of the best teachers in the nation. They don't have access to stuff like that. They don't have access to good teaching. They're up 8,000 feet up into the mountains in these villages on the side of a mountain. Right? And they don't have, so we can go there and they can and encourage them. Right? We can go there and support them. There's like, I thought this was a joke the first time I went on a mission trip, but just, they call it the presence of, or the ministry of presence. Like, you wouldn't believe how encouraging it is for people that never feel like they get any support, that are up on the mountains, for us just to show up and spend time with them and say, we have our church back at home and we're praying for you. And there's people that love you. And we're here to support you and do this with you. It's unbelievable how encouraging that is to people who never have any support and would never think that a church in America or a church wherever else is loving and supporting them. But we're there telling them, no, your faith and your hope and your love has spread all the way back to Missouri. Like, stories of what's going on here has come all the way back to us. We've heard about Alfonso, and we've heard about Ubaldo, and we've heard about the churches that you're planting and what you're trying to accomplish, and we're just here to help. We're just here to serve. We're just here to go arm in arm with you and do this thing. And guys, that's exactly why we're there. To support them, to love them. We're not doing anything for them. We're doing it with them to support and love them and to bring in their stories back to here so we can really be supportive of each other. That's what Paul's trying to do for this young church. What this book is going to do, it's going to encourage us in this, but it's also going to empower us to encourage others to be what Christ has called us to be. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to take a small break, and we're going to have all the parents go get their kids for two reasons. One, I want your kids to hear about what's going on in Mexico, too. I've already told Jack I'm taking him next year, and one of our other members said they're going to take their son that's his age, and they're going to learn gospel stories, and they're going to go share them with other kids and go to houses, and Jack's going to go with me and evangelize. He can't wait, right? So I want your kids to hear about this, too, because your kids are powerful missionaries, right, Jack? He didn't pull up his hood. Right? I want your kids to hear this, but also four of the six people that went on our missions, was on our missions team, are back with the kids right now. So if we don't have the kids out here, then they don't get to share. So what we're going to do, I'm going to pray. I want to take a five-minute break. So if you don't have kids, go grab a bagel, get a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever, talk with whoever. We'll have 5 minutes And 5 minutes only, and then we'll come back here and we'll share what happened with Mexico. Let me pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all the things that you're doing in our church right now. That you're building a family here, that you're increasing our faith, our hope, and our love. And God, I think most of all that the love that's in here is pouring out of these walls into Tom Watkins and into Williams Elementary School and into Springfield. And God, even internationally into the mountains of Mexico where we have no business being except for our love for you. And so God, we just want to thank you for that. I thank you for the book of Colossians that can be such an encouragement to a church like this. I thank you that Paul wrote letters to young churches like ours, not only to encourage them, but to encourage churches like ours through the centuries. God, I pray that this book would be have a powerful movement through our church. Drive us to love you more, Jesus. Drive us to be serious about the gospel, but also drive us to be serious about spreading your hope. Man, God, just all over through the entire world. God, I pray you be with the missions team as they come up and share, what happened in Mexico. God, I pray that what we do would bring you glory and would stir in the hearts of your people for mission, for what you're doing. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 5-minute break. What time is it? 11 o'clock. We're rolling, so be ready.